W1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. About a half hour from now, the International Court of Justice in The Hague will release its decision on whether Israel is committing genocide in Gaza. Israel continuing to claim that its actions are against Hamas, not the Palestinian people. The death toll in Gaza now, according to the Hamas-run health ministry, more than 26,000. The United Nations Human Rights Office weighing in on last night's Alabama execution of death row inmate Kenneth Smith by nitrogen gas. UN Human Rights spokesperson Ravinia Shamasani.
This is a warning bell, and I hope it rings loudly. This is a warning bell that this could amount to torture in violation of international human rights law, and it must stop.
Alabama officials insist that nitrogen hypoxia is a humane form of execution. Jailed Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gerskovich ordered held at least until the end of March. He is accused by Russia of espionage, a charge he and the U.S. strongly deny. Gerskovich has been held in a Russian jail since March of last year. This is ABC News. Continuing in Michigan, the manslaughter trial of Jennifer Crumley, whose teenage son, Ethan Crumley, shot and killed four of his classmates at Oxford High School in 2021. Prosecutors calling her a negligent mother.
What we can gather, the argument that the defense is going to make is that Jennifer Crumley is not a perfect parent, but she was not aware of a number of warning signs that school officials who are trained to recognize these kinds of problems never registered her son as a threat, and also that she was not aware that all of these problems with her son's deteriorating mental health were bubbling up.
ABC's Trevor Ault, Crumley's husband, faces a similar trial in March. King Charles today admitted to a private clinic in London for scheduled prostate treatment. It is the same hospital where Princess Kate is recovering from abdominal surgery. And Novak Djokovic's streak at the Australian Open is over. The world's number one losing in the semifinals to Italian Jannik Sinner. Djokovic had won 33 straight matches. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
This ad furnished by Nesmith Taju LLC. Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. Loans are subject to lender approval. See website for details.
Honey, the credit card bill came, and we're maxed out.
Great. Maxed out cards, rent is due, bills are piling up. We just need some extra cash to help us get by.
We should do what my brother did. He went to 27cash.com and got $3,000.
With our bad credit?
27cash.com is different. They're one of the largest personal loan networks. They can help people with any type of credit get up to $5,000.
I'm sure there's a lot of paperwork.
Nope. My brother said it was fast and easy. He did it right from his phone.
If you have a regular source of income, you can be approved for a loan of up to $5,000 in minutes, and your cash can hit your bank account as soon as the next day. Our lenders have millions of dollars to lend regardless of your credit history.
Great news. I went to 27cash.com and we'll have our money as soon as tomorrow.
Wow, that is fast.
If you need extra cash, go to 27cash.com. That's 27cash.com. 27cash.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden was in Wisconsin Thursday pledging $1 billion to replace Superior's critical but aging John Blatnick Bridge to Duluth, where he noted the U.S. infrastructure has fallen to number 13 in the world.
How in God's name can we have the strongest economy in the world if we don't have the strongest and best infrastructure in the world? It's not possible. So we're determined. Turn that around. We were determined to turn that around in a big way.
It's part of the $1 trillion bipartisan infrastructure law that's paying for road and bridge repairs nationwide. Wisconsin's projected budget surplus is getting smaller, $3.25 billion now, instead of the previously forecasted $4 billion. The Legislative Fiscal Bureau says it's due to a drop in projected growth in tax collections and the deal for more money for the universities of Wisconsin. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Badgers take on Sparty. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers host the Michigan State Spartans at the Kohl Center, but the Badgers will be without their backup point guard. Kamari McGee suffered an injury to his ankle and right foot in the second half of their game against Indiana. McGee out of Racine St. Catharines now listed as out indefinitely. Marquette hosts Seton Hall tomorrow at noon. NBA, the Bucks and Doc Rivers agreeing to a four-year deal worth $40 million. Rivers taking over for Adrian Griffin, fired Tuesday. The Bucks host the Cavaliers tonight. Joe Prunty on his role as the Bucks interim head coach.
Circumstances are always different, but like I said, you just do. Time doesn't stand still. You got to keep moving forward. And so, okay, what decisions need to be made? How are we going to handle this? What do you say to the players? What do you say to the coaching staff? And so I was proud of the guys for doing that, like coming out and staying focused on what we needed to do.
That's the Bucks' Joe Prunty. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
It is going to be cloudy and foggy with scattered rain, a little freezing rain, and some freezing drizzle possible today. Our high right around 35 this afternoon. The wind will be north at 5 to 10. Tonight, a little light rain or snow or some freezing drizzle, more fog with a low of 32. Tomorrow will be cloudy with a high of 37. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refreshed.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning.
And the talk of Green Bay all day long.
1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios at the City Deck Landing in Green Bay and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Good morning. Happy Friday.
Right?
This is Friday, baby.
This was a good week.
We survived the week.
Yeah.
We survived the week. It got up to a rough start, of course, the Packers season having ended.
But the weather was kind of on our side a little bit.
Weather's been on our side. That's almost like uplifting sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah, it was good. And last night we got together.
But how bad did the week start with? Like battery die, 4:30
in
the morning.
Monday. Yeah.
It's like, I got to get through this week. Todd?
There's something to be said for thank God it's Friday.
I know.
Because weeks,
I know.
There was a lot of challenges this week. But we're here.
We're here.
And we've got a little football. Only on Sunday, though.
Yeah.
Nothing Saturday.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about it. Yeah, I'm going to make something special. I mean,
what are you going to make?
You know what?
Okay, this might not be good radio. Although, you know what?
He's always scolding me.
Todd, how many times I use the phrase? Right. This might not be good radio.
However,
a gentleman last night reaffirmed that maybe sometimes what we think is not good radio is okay radio.
Yeah.
We met our biggest, one most wonderful listener last night.
Great. We went to an event last night at the ADRC at the that remember we talked about the last couple of days about being dementia friendly,
right?
In the downtown, and this guy is he hails from the Schmidt Neighborhood Association, which is on the east side, and that neighborhood association, which he's a leader in there, is a dementia friendly neighborhood. And we had met, I guess, in the past, but man, is he a fan of Mino and the Mayor?
And here's the deal. So sometimes, you know, cause I was just going to tell you something about what I've been eating, okay?
Oh.
But anyway, and that's what parts, well, who cares what Mino's eating? Okay, but he said he actually tried radish sandwiches because of me, talking about how I grew up on radish sandwiches. Rye bread, sliced radish, salt and pepper, a little bit of mayonnaise, a little bit of butter, delicious.
Johnny, I may have tuned that out.
Well, no, you know what? I don't think it was. He said that was on my old show. He's been following my show.
I've said it here, though, too. I think it was a day maybe that Jim was off.
Oh, maybe that was it.
He was at home.
But he's listened to my other shows, too. But he said, I eat radish sandwiches because of you.
Wow.
Yes. So we want to get him on our show one day.
I think that would be fun.
That would be a lot of fun.
He had great energy and obviously cares deeply about the community because he was at that event last night.
Great event. And we'll talk more about this. But it's not a cure for dementia.
No.
But talk about something that will come hand in hand. It's to make areas more dementia friendly.
Right.
And people can take a class on some of the things they can do. I think it's wonderful. Every person, you, me, and Todd, all had somebody very close to us fight dementia. And it's a losing battle. So we want to just give them a voice as much as possible.
And it's acceptance. It's not to be afraid of, you know, because sometimes, you know, people are like, I'm not sure about them or even with prejudices a little bit, you got to get to know that person, you know, be it, You talked a little bit yesterday in with that interview we did. You know, some people weren't real comfortable back in the 60s with African Americans. And, you know, you get to know them, and you know, Jerry just kept going on and on about, right. You know, these are the funniest people, the smartest people.
We interviewed Jerry Kramer yesterday for the show that's going to be on, a show that's going to be on next week. And we talked, I brought it up because I just read another book that he hadn't heard of, an old teammate of his. Bill Curry was his name.
Right.
And he was a center for the Packers for a couple of years. Although I got to tell you a story, Cliff Crystal told me about him too. We gotta get Cliff Crystal on
we
again.
Do,
I
yeah.
could talk to Cliff Crystal all day,
and he listens to us. Packer and he likes history. Us. Lives right down the road.
My God,
so,
he's
yes,
unbelievable.
We get him on here.
But anyway, Bill Curry grew up in Georgia. Never had anything to do with black classmates, black teammates, black opponents, or anything. So he comes to Green Bay. And all of a sudden, there's the Willie Davises and the Herb Adderleys and the, you know, Elijah Pitts and Dave Robinson, on and on and on. So it was a real eye-opening thing for him.
Yeah.
And then it's like all these preconceived, built-in prejudice that he was just grew up with.
Right.
And it's like, oh, my God, Vince Lombardi and the Green Bay Packers are showing him a different world.
And I would just encourage our listeners, and that was 50, well, longer than that, right?
Early 60, mid-60s, 65.
But the leadership Vince Lombardi showed is unbelievable. And I did not know that.
Well, he told us a great story. Right. Jerry told us a great story about this new restaurant opened up in Green Bay and really, really popular, okay? But Vince got word that the man did not want black customers.
And Vince called him.
So Vince called the guy. Said, hey, my wife and I, we're going to come down for dinner. Like, oh, my God, Coach, that's unbelievable. We're so excited.
We'll take care of you.
We'll take care of you. I can't believe this. Yeah, and I bring some of my black players. And Vince just went off. He said he's going to make sure nobody goes to that restaurant.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what I was getting at with Jerry is that in a microcosm, right during that civil rights time, I mean, I remember it. I mean, it wasn't, you know, we're not talking about the 30s. I remember
10, 11.
Sitting watching the news about this kind of stuff, how the Green Bay Packers and Vince Lombardi, in a small way, was their own little world of there will be zero of that here. And Bart Starr actually, the one time I interviewed Bart Starr, this was back in the late 80s, and he had put out a book, and he was coming around making the rounds. And, I, you know, Bart from Alabama and lived in Mississippi, and I've always been fascinated with the civil rights movement, to be honest with you. I've just been fascinated by that. And I said, Bart, what was that like? Like, even, you know, in those days with the racism and everything. He says, well, you know what? He said, I'll be honest with you. He said, when I first came to Green Bay, there were some guys, some rednecks, for lack of a better word, that, you know, weren't nice. Or whatever. And they would say things and whatever. And there's only like two or three black guys on the team. And they didn't say, you know, so he said, Vince Lombardi came in. And he said, those guys just disappeared. He said, you just come in one day, and all of a sudden, there's somebody else in the locker, and you never heard anything. You didn't know anything. They just quietly disappeared. Bart Starr told me that story. So what Vince Lombardi did within that, you come in, you play for Green Bay, the Green Bay Packers, there is zero tolerance for that, which I think is awesome.
I don't know that story is as well known as it should be. You know what I mean?
Because I never heard that one before about the restaurant.
About
and we were trying to get it out of him.
Yeah.
What the restaurant was.
Right.
He wouldn't tell us.
But he did. He did disclose that they are closed.
Yeah.
He didn't say that. He didn't want to drop their name. But no. What I'm saying, John, is I think when you hear Vince Lombardi, you think of obviously Super Bowls and tough coaching and a lot of. But I don't know that we saw him as the leader he was for civil rights.
Oh yeah, exactly. Well, and like. Like Jerry said, part of it stems back from his youth, where being Italian,
right? He was,
you know, discriminated against, kind of, and just, you know,
right
remarks.
As an Italian, and he was, you know, I
absolutely.
Mean, you guys had it tough over here. Now, you know, you run the place, but
you know what though, my mom remembers a Ku Klux Klan march. In her town up in the UP.
Really?
Because they were so anti-Catholic and Jewish people, the Klan was. There was, religion was such a big thing back then. This would have been in like the 30s, early 30s. And it's like, boy, you had the Catholics, you had the Methodists, you had the so-and-sos.
Oh, the Lutherans. Oh, yeah, that's Lutherans. why they have so many churches.
Their own little worlds.
Oh, yeah.
And if you were, you know, whichever one of those religions was kind of like the top dogs at the time. boy, they, you know, it's so yeah, but they had Ku Klux Klan up in the UP. Wow. You can find pictures of it, of them marching against Catholics and Jewish people.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Well, you look out the window here, you wonder why we have so many churches.
Yeah.
It's because it was the Dutch, the
and it
Irish,
was kind of for protection almost.
Right.
You
oh, yeah,
to
it
be
was, yeah,
with your own
clan.
With your own clan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was a great interview yesterday. Yeah. And when are we playing that? Do we know yet?
No. It'll be Monday at 7 o'clock.
Oh, great. Fantastic.
Well, good. We'll tune in for that. Yeah, Jerry Kramer, who I mean, I think everybody knows him. And I, like we'd mentioned to him yesterday, it takes a real special person to transcend generation to generation to generation. You know, and he has done that. He has stayed in the limelight, respected.
Well, think about this. He started playing football in the 50s.
I know.
50s.
Yeah.
That's incredible. So that's over 65 years, right. Whatever. He's still a great, unfortunately, he's one of the very last links to the glory years. I mean, so many of them passed away over the past few years, including one of his great teammates, a guy that I went to his house one time to interview him, Bob Skoronski. And I did a story with Bob. He lived outside of Madison. And I did a story. It was the 50th, or it'd be 60th, no, 50th anniversary of the day the Packers had to play, like 2 days after JFK was killed, and how nobody wanted to play that game. It's like November 25th, I want to say, 1963.
Right.
And he said it was the most bizarre thing. No band. I don't even think there's a public address announcer. No whatever.
Wow.
Totally quiet in the stands. And just how eerie.
Somber, yeah.
Somber is the word. That's the word I've been trying to come up with. How somber it was playing that football game.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's like when we used to cover the Packers, you know, hardcore, and I'm old enough to say, you know, cover the glory or follow the glory years, whatever. But that was right in the middle of so many other crazy things going on in the world. Yes, I mean, right, you know, with the JFK assassination and the riots and all those things. I mean, that was right in the heart of that whole thing. What an era that was.
And it's funny when you.
Oh, by the way, did you wonder what I was going to say when I said, Jerry, I will willingly cut off an arm. Or I'll cut off a leg.
And a leg.
And I will do this. I'll cut off an arm and a leg. I'll personally do it if something ever happens again that you did. And that was an offensive guard, plays guard all game, and then kicks 3 field goals and an extra point in a championship game.
Right.
Let me know the next time an offensive guard.
Right.
Although maybe the Packers have tried that this year.
Yeah.
But maybe, you know, but that was unbelievable. And he didn't get the most valuable player. Ray Nitschke got MVP and got a Corvette for it.
Yeah. And what did he get? He got the ball.
He got the ball. He got the game ball. Vince Lombardi gave him the game ball. And Ray Nitschke got the quarterback.
He got the bat.
Yes. So really interesting talking with him. And so glad that he made it into the Hall of Fame.
Right. And he will, I don't say drop names, but he knows a lot of people.
Yeah.
From Frank Sinatra to...
He laughed really hard over my Clint Eastwood story.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
So anyway, it'll be fun. That's a great interview. 7 o'clock Monday morning. And there's a guy that just loves Green Bay.
Absolutely.
And, relished his time with the Packers for a lot of years.
Great ambassador.
Yeah, he is.
Yep. So, we got a fun show, and we were talking about dementia.
Yep.
Dr. Kristen Lierley is coming in. She's going to be so excited. This is a good day for her. You know why?
Why?
She sent me a picture last night. After 30 years, whatever.
Right.
She finally got her University of Minnesota Letterman's jacket.
Oh!
She said she was going to sleep in it.
Yep. Is she bringing it in?
I bet she will.
I hope so.
She looks good in it.
But we're going to talk about, with the dementia, she says one thing she wants to talk about. There's a new test for Alzheimer's.
I heard about that.
Did you see that?
Yes.
And she wants to talk about kids and sports. We got a lot of stuff going on. It's going to be a fun day. Stay with us. Mino and the Mayor. Just getting warmed up.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
This is John Mino.
And I'm Jim Schmidt. And together we're Mino and the Mayor on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM, weekday mornings from 6 to 8.
As our audience grows, we're looking to find an experienced outside marketing professional to join our civic media team to work with local business owners who want to grow.
Not only does WGBW reach qualified radio listeners, we help business owners reach customers on their mobile phones, tablets, even on screens at the gas pump.
pump.
The person who joins our team needs to be as motivated as we are to bring great local radio to Green Bay and Northeast Wisconsin. Someone with a creative streak and no fear of introducing themselves and us to the Green Bay business community.
If you're listening to us now, imagine how many others are and how we can help business owners reach the customers they want to do business with.
To apply, email me directly. My name is Chris Morrow, Vice President of Sales. My email address is chris.moreau@civicmedia.us. chris.moreau@civicmedia.us.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Don't say that.
99% of the time during our breaks, we're coming. Don't say anything about that. 90%. Today is National Peanut Brittle Day. I love peanut brittle so much, it's unbelievable.
No, gets in your teeth. No,
that's the fun part. Pick it out, eat it again.
Wow.
Just saying. We all do all right, it.
Yeah.
Australia Day? Australia has its own day.
Yeah, apparently.
Okay. You ever been there?
No.
But it's a place I always would have liked to have gone. You ever been there, Todd?
Never been.
I'd like to go to Australia.
What, kangaroos?
I know, just something.
But do they don't have snakes? Is that the place?
No, they got the brown snake.
Oh, they got brown snakes.
Don't get me started. Other passion is poisonous snakes.
Yeah, no, I hate them.
Oh, my God.
That's why I haven't gone.
Biggest, whatever you, what does it call it when you?
Scaredy cat?
What did George Costanza always say he wanted to be? You really follow something real strongly.
Zealot?
No, something like that. Oh, I can't think of it.
Okay.
But anyway, Australia Day, but they've got some of the, I watch Australian Snake Roundup. It's a TV show.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good.
Yeah. Okay.
Ellen DeGeneres, 66 years old today.
How's she doing?
She fit it on the public eye, huh? Wayne Gretzky, the great one, the greatest, yeah. And I mentioned this to somebody, he is the GOAT of hockey, and that might be the only sport where you can't argue, you can't make an argument. I mean, somebody could say, well, Gordie Howe, and great. Yeah. You know, Bobby, yep, great. Wayne Gretzky is the greatest hockey, Wayne Gretzky is the greatest human being to put on a pair of skates and play pro hockey. My buddy works for him at his summer camps, so he's the greatest guy in the world, nicest guy in the world. And you know, he always has the number one thing is his motto. What's his motto? What's Wayne Gretzky's motto? This was even used on an episode of The Office one day. What's his motto?
I wouldn't know. I don't know.
You miss 100% of the shots you never take.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah. Anita Baker, singer, right?
Sweet Love.
Yeah. Like 90s? Big in the 90s. 80s? Yeah. Oh, that far back. Anita Baker. Okay. But the great one, Wayne Gretzky. I don't think there's any argument that he's the greatest hockey player of all time and one of the all-time great guys.
I would agree that in so many sports, it's like, well, this and
right.
that.
Right. Is
and this
it Babe Ruth or Willie Mays?
Right. Or football, especially. You know,
exactly.
There's so much of that with quarterbacks and receivers. But he's a standalone. I'll give you that.
What he did was just remarkable.
Yeah.
So I interviewed his son one time.
Really?
He played professional baseball. We were, Ted Stefaniak and I were doing Timber Rattler games, and he was playing for one of the minor league teams that they played against, and he went like 4 for 5 in that game. He had a phenomenal game, and he looked just like Gretzky, tall and whatever.
And he didn't play hockey.
No, baseball.
Yeah. Wow, I don't know much about
him. He didn't make
it
to the majors, but he was a good player. He was a very good player.
Wow.
So, yes, but that was kind of cool just to interview a Gretzky.
Yeah.
Although if his... Wayne's, no, I shouldn't say it, but have you seen Wayne's daughter?
No, I haven't.
No?
You have?
Well, her husband's one of the top golfers, Dustin Johnson, in the world.
Oh, that's that.
Who's ranked number one in the world. And
that's that poster you have in your room?
No, it's not.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. If he's in the lead at a tournament, a big tournament, she shows up and, yeah.
All right.
She gets noticed, that's all I'm saying.
There you go.
Paulina Gretzky. Hi, this is my girlfriend, Mom and Dad, Paulina Gretzky. Yeah, how'd you like to bring that home? Bring her home to the patch location in Nagani. Hey, guys, this is my girlfriend, Paulina Gretzky.
Yeah.
What do you think?
You've done very well. Keep with what you got.
Oh, my God, talking to Brian Johnson, we were talking about Manitowoc last night.
Oh, yeah, he grew up there, right?
We got talked about. He was crazy.
Brian?
As a kid.
Oh.
He used to talk about the time the cops chased them. They used to ride their bikes. You know where Red Arrow Park is?
Oh, yeah.
And he said there's this huge discharge, you know, where the sewer stuff would come, the discharge of the water and everything. They'd ride their bikes through that, get to a manhole in the middle of a street, and pop up the manhole cover and come out.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. He said finally the cops chased them. And then the next day, there are big bars. Since then, there's been big bars over that thing so nobody can get in.
And
drive their bikes under the streets of Manhattan and then pop up a manhole cover.
Yeah. And now he's an alderman. Well, okay. Well, whatever
we
works.
We got him on here just to talk about Manitowoc adventures. Oh, my God. I was laughing so hard. But he was at that event last night. Again, dementia, just trying to make it a more of a dementia-friendly. And what they're trying to do is like the downtown area here and then expand it to the Navarino area and all the different
neighborhood associations.
I'm telling you, Jim, I still love whenever they decided to break Green Bay up historically into those little areas to still give them, you know, the historic aspect of why this neighborhood is where
identity.
It is. Their identity.
Yeah, neighborhood associations.
I love that.
That's not unique to Green Bay. I mean,
no, it's not.
But it's cool
but
that we
didn't have it years ago
Bay.
Whoever decided to do it,
yeah.
I think that's really great.
It is. And that
and you didn't know that they were split up so much. Like, I was driving down Mather Street the other day, yeah. And there's one over there.
Right, right.
In those neighborhoods that I like. Remember I mentioned that? Some really cool little old houses.
There really are, and you just get right off of Alp, and there's some very cool neighborhoods. And people, you know, sometimes people, you know, especially back in, you know, I remember when I was first running 2002, and people thought the city was getting too big. Because people like the quaintness of Green Bay.
Absolutely.
And they like that neighborhood feel.
Yeah.
Those neighborhood associations allow you to have that quaintness and that feel and still be part of a place with larger amenities.
Because that still keeps the historical aspect of it.
Right. And in the unique aspect, it doesn't even have to be historical. I mean, if you look at some of the neighborhood associations on the far east side, those are newer homes. But, you know, their concern might be along the bay, Phragmites. Well, that's not really something
what?
We in the hood.
Would you say? Phragmites? What is that? What is that?
Phragmites, like cattails that would grow along your shoreline.
Okay.
And
so I've never heard that term before. Well, say it again.
Phragmites, right? Is that the
Fred Mighties?
Frag, F-R-A-G, right? Am I right?
Like Fred, F-R-E-D?
No, F-R.
I think you're talking about some guy. You're talking about some guy named
F-R-E-G.
Fred Mighties.
It's Phragmites, P-H-R-A-G-M-I-T-E-S.
See what I know? It's like phone is F-O-N-E, right?
Like Fraggle Rocks?
Yeah.
It's very much like a cattail, except they kind of got like little...
okay.
Yeah.
And they can be an annoyance in your backyard if you live along
Evasive.
The bay. Yes.
Okay.
And so we would have neighborhood association meetings out there, and they had their concerns were obviously the speed on Nicolet and the Phragmites along their shoreline. And that's nice that we could get together, get to someone's house, and have
well,
a neighborhood
check
meeting.
Check out the big brain on the mayor. Wow.
But then, like you said, on Mather Street or on, where I live in historic, you know, our houses are all 100 years old. We want to preserve that history.
Absolutely.
And that's different than their needs. Yet we all love the schools. We love, you know, low crime and of course, the Packers. So those neighborhood associations and my kids who live in Nashville, they're pretty strong there, too.
Okay.
And they live in a different area.
I think it's cool.
Yeah.
You know what I'd still love to do? I would still love to be involved in an archaeological dig, like where some of the old forts were around here, or the settlements along the river. Can you imagine what must be under the surface?
Oh, right here.
Right here.
Oh, yeah.
Right out our door.
Right out our door.
I would love to dig into an archaeological dig.
Well, the fort was there.
I know.
Of course, that's why it's called Fort
Holland. We got a text this morning about, we were talking about Manitowoc a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little while ago. Yesterday, Lincoln High School celebrated 100 years
of
their doors opening.
I saw an article someplace. It's considered one of the coolest high schools in the nation.
Yeah. Well, that's it.
The architecture.
That's unbelievable. And it's kind of hidden a little bit. Like,
totally. You have to know where it is.
But
there were times when I first had to go to basketball games there. I'd have to stop at gas stations to ask where the high school is.
But that is
beautiful high school.
And they turned out some really good product.
Absolutely.
Out of there. That's
you know
great
what? I remember
school.
Me and Big Al Sams were doing a fishing story one time when I was first here, and we were off the shore. And I go, what is that? Is that
beautiful?
It just looked unbelievable. All right, we got to send a quick break. Mind of the Mayor, Dr. Kristen Lierley, will be joining us as soon as we come back. Back.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. The Todd Allbus Show.
Luke Mathers, it's time for Tuesday Tangents with Lukester.
Everybody announced yesterday, schools are closed tomorrow. I feel like a boomer almost here, Todd. Where I'm like, back in my day, we never got a snow day in advance. I remember sitting patiently, like cross-legged in front of the television set, just waiting for the little ticker to scroll by. And if you missed it alphabetically, you had to sit there even longer.
The Todd Allbus Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Two young farmers, their families, and their neighbors getting ready to host Wisconsin Farm Technology Days 2026. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Friday. And it's actually kind of a surprise to many. Matt Radetsky, 35, and his brother Sam, 27, farm just outside of Stratford. When their dad sold the cows in 2011, Sam thought that was the end of milking, and he was pretty happy about it then.
The day of my dad's auction, I told him it was the happiest day of my life because I was never going to milk another cow. And, I really believe those couple of years of not having it from 2011 to 2013, you know, just gave a new perspective, I guess, on, you know, how much I missed not having the animals there. So when Matt pitched the idea of, you know, trying to start milking again, I was all for it.
Sam Radetsky, along with his brother Matt, reignited No Joke Dairy outside of Stratford, your host for the 2026 Wisconsin Farm Technology Days.
Innovation, that's BioVet. The end of harvest, snow covered fields, and an early morning sunrise. Winter is a good time to evaluate your livestock's health. BioVet loves seeing healthy animals contribute to your farm's profitability. The knowledge and support from our team is here to help you make the difference in the health and productivity on your farm. Help your livestock stay healthy and call 1-800-BioVet1 or visit bio-vet.com. Innovation.
TH Agrochemicals has more than 40 years of experience of their family helping your family find the best agriculture chemicals and fertilizers at the most economical prices. As an independent dealer and distributor, TH Agrochemicals has a diverse line of agriculture chemicals available without breaking the bank. Be sure to visit their booth at the Corn Soy Expo at booth 303 or visit thagrochemicals.com. TH Agrochemicals, good people to grow with.
And it may seem like the Wisconsin State Fair is quite a distance down the road, but in reality, they're accepting entries right now. Wisconsin State Fair reminding the amateur vintners and homebrew competition folks that their entries are due to Wisconsin State Fair by March 7th. You can always find out more about what's happening with the Wisconsin State Fair and entries that are available online at wistatefair.com. And remember also, applications for the Century Sesquicentennial Farm and Home Recognition that happens at the Wisconsin State Fair. Those are also being accepted right now. Application deadline for Century Sesquicentennial Farms and Homes, March 1st. We've got details up at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
It is going to be cloudy and foggy with scattered rain, a little freezing rain, and some freezing drizzle possible today. Our high right around 35 this afternoon. The wind will be north at 5 to 10. Tonight, a little light rain or snow or some freezing drizzle. More fog with a low of 32. Tomorrow will be cloudy with a high of 37. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Outgoing Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm. The way I joke about it is I'm probably not doing my job right if somebody's not ticked off at me most of the time.
The only way you can do it is if you have that steadfast commitment to doing justice. That tension's built into it, and that's quite frankly what makes the job just so phenomenal and exciting and fun.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Weeknights at 6 p.m.
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. Miss part of the show or want to share it with a friend? Check out the Mino and the Mayor podcast at civicmedia.us and on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Take Mino and the Mayor with you everywhere. Now, once again, Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here on a warm Friday morning.
Right.
I don't see our temperatures, Todd.
I bet it's 34.
34? Yeah,
I'm guessing.
34, 34, 33.
Look at you.
See?
Once again, check out the big brain of Jim. Wow. What movie's that from?
I have no
idea. Pulp Fiction.
Okay.
90% of my movie quotes are Pulp Fiction.
Which I've never seen, so right. You should try to pick a different movie.
Or you should watch the movie.
Yeah,
one of the two. Yeah. Okay. Very excited to have Dr. Kristen Lierley here, but also in some ways very disappointed in Dr. Kristen Lierley.
I'm right. Sorry.
This morning.
I know. It was my intention.
You sent me a picture last night. Mm-hmm. You were super excited about something last night.
Yeah.
I showed it to Jim. She goes, oh, wow, does she look great in that jacket? Perfect. She looks excited to be in it. Go ahead and tell the story.
I got my letter jacket.
After how many years?
Over 30.
Over 30 years, you got your University of Minnesota Golden Gopher Letterman's jacket. And that's like a legit jacket. That's the star of the football team would get that exact same jacket.
It is exactly the same jacket.
Exactly.
Well, here's the sweet story. So
And we thought you were going to wear it here. You said you were going to sleep in it last night.
I should have slept in it last night.
All right.
See, John sleeps in his clothes and comes here, but she doesn't do that, John. So, okay.
I was really looking forward to seeing it, though.
So was I.
I'll show you a picture.
It's a great picture.
Next week. I'll wear it next week.
That's a great picture.
If there is a next week.
Were you driving when you...
Yeah, if there is a next week.
Were you driving when you took that?
Yeah.
Yeah. You should do that. just I call you out, since your husband's a cop.
I like that.
Nice.
Yes.
Isn't it?
You know, the sweetest thing about it is, so I was the mascot at Minnesota when the mascot became part of the athletic department.
Okay.
And it was before they really thought about giving the mascot a letter, but all the other mascots got letters.
And you didn't.
And I didn't. Ugh. So I sent an email to the athletic department and said, hey, could I have a letter? And they said, yeah, come in and get your letter jacket. And I was like over the moon.
Oh, my goodness.
So yesterday when I went to go pick it up, the person who's in charge of alumni relations was almost as excited to give it to me as I was excited to receive
it. You were at
it.
The university?
Yeah.
In Minneapolis?
Oh, the whole sports complex is just stunning.
Really?
Oh, yeah. The women's basketball area, the men's basketball, the wrestling. I mean, it is just
beautiful. When I used to go there for games, when I lived in Minnesota, and we'd make the big trip. I mean, that was a big trip from Virginia, Minnesota to Minneapolis. That was a big
thing.
That's
4 hours.
Yeah, it was 4 hours. They weren't very good. I mean, it was old Williams Arena.
They still play at Williams.
I watched that game the other night against the Badgers. Doesn't matter. But they didn't have the big complexes like they do now. Mm-hmm. You know, it was old school.
Mm-hmm.
It was traditional. I mean, Minnesota used to be one of the great athletic programs in the country for a lot of years. But it just almost still had that feel to it. But then everybody, you know, for recruiting purposes, as you know much about recruiting as anybody, you got to dazzle these guys and women. When you got to dazzle them.
But for sure.
Something that they've been consistent with is they turn out a good product.
They do.
I mean, university, that's a good school.
No question. A lot of kids from around here go there.
No
right?
doubt.
Well, there's reciprocity. That's how I ended up there. Yeah. I wanted to go into architecture out of high school. And at 17 years old, you know, you think you know what you want to do.
You know what? I know about six kids that went to school for architecture. None of them are architects.
Not one.
Honest to God, that is no lie.
Yeah.
It's
no
a
lie.
Really hard program to
I know.
Get into.
In
Wisconsin at the time didn't have a program. MSOE had a program, but we couldn't afford private school. So Minnesota had a program. There's tuition reciprocity. I applied to one school, and I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know about the Big Ten.
How did you go from architecture to becoming a doctor?
I learned something about life.
Wow, that's cool.
You know, like life's a journey. So anybody who I think is listening right now who... Hey, are you where you thought you were going to be? You know, it's like you take the next step.
Are you asking me that question?
Yeah, we're...
Are you? Did 17-year-old you think that you would be doing this?
Sitting next to this guy?
Can you say rut?
Yeah.
I think that's... You're a good example that you can go not just in a lane with different jobs, but actually different careers from architecture. To medical, too.
Well, but the thing is, too, I mean, when you look back, and when you're in high school, although kids, I think, are a lot more advanced than at least I was, you know, you've got this idea of what you want to do, but you don't have a clue what it really entails.
I knew that I liked a drafting class that I was in, and that was it.
Yeah.
I wanted to, create my own house,
yeah.
But I didn't really get all the drawing. Like, there's a lot of art in architecture. It's not it's not really drafting. It's really like, you know, it's very creative.
I want
a lot of physics.
I want to do the same thing. Uh-huh. Maybe not be an architect to that level, but I want to be able to design houses and things like that. And I lasted a week in drafting class because and I had to drop it.
Mr. Mino, the stick houses really don't. They're not sustainable.
You have to use something other than mud.
Right. Just the drawings had to be so precise.
Yeah.
You know, with whatever. And then you'd make a mistake and you have to erase and you're on the clock and you're... I wanted to do it. I thought it'd be awesome. But draftsmen and those people, draftswomen, whatever you want to call them.
But Doc, how important is it for kids, youth, you know, 20-year-olds to shadow? Because you really can get behind the curtain and see the architecture's sexy. I think the design.
I think you're sexy, Jim.
No. I'm just saying, Johnny, I think that's a cool feel.
I've got that saved.
I know, that's a little weird. I tried to move on really quickly, but Todd kind of put a pause in that. No, but I think the math, the science behind architecture, that's a tough field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really hard. But to your point about mentorship and being able to shadow, I think that's incredibly important. Otherwise, you know, you think you know where you're headed, but once you really get to see what it's like and the behind the scenes and all the other stuff that holds it together, that's what sets you off in that direction.
Our mentorship is people walk by the window.
What do you tell young high school? Well, all high school kids are fairly young, but what do you tell them when they're interested in doing exactly what you've done, your path, becoming a doctor?
I say keep talking to people.
Okay.
Yeah, keep talking to people and make those connections. Connections are everything, aren't they?
No question. Not even a question.
Regardless of what you go into. Well, and that was one of the things I was talking with the woman at the athletic department yesterday. She was from an inner city school. She played basketball. She was great. She played for the Gophers, and now she's in charge of alumni. But her love is mentorship. And her goal is to help these college athletes stay connected, once you graduate from college, if you've been an elite level athlete, you're used to this kind of treatment, and then you're out in the world.
Absolutely.
So how do you bridge that and keep people successful
and there
and
will
happy?
Be a person mm-hmm. that will make such a difference in your life, you can't believe it. You mm-hmm. never know who that person is going to be when you can't plan it. It's a weird thing, but there will always be one person that will make that big step. They'll take you over that big chasm to get you where you're going.
And I think people, alums of a school, they feel a closeness to you, even though they don't know you, you know, and I think that's an advantage to going to a bigger school because there are people, I mean, look at Madison. I mean, how many people graduated? They're all over the world. You know, you give them a call, most of them are going to say, you know, yeah, stop in. Let's talk a little bit. And, you know, of course, Notre Dame is probably one of the best at that in Michigan of taking care of their own. But I think that's really important. And I don't think you should be afraid to call someone, even if you don't know them personally, to like call someone like you and say, hey, you went to the University of Minnesota. I'm there right now. I'm thinking about being a doctor. You take the call. You talk for sure. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, they have programs where they bring in alumni people to just have a conversation to a group of people. And then I always encourage people to, you know, come up to me afterwards and talk to me. And I share my contact information. Most people don't follow through.
Right.
But those people who do,
yeah,
you can tell they are really interested.
Right. You know what? The thing that that I remember you know, being a senior in college and now you got to get serious. It's like, oh my gosh, I got to get a job. And the people that I would talk to that were in the profession, some of them would big time you. And I never forgot that.
What does that mean, big time you?
Yeah. Like, I don't have time for you, kid.
That type of thing.
Yeah, you know, I don't that type of guy. Mm-hmm. And I always made a vow, never, ever do that.
Right.
To somebody young like that. That will stick with them.
It will.
And you know, we've all dealt with those kind of people.
Oh, well, yeah. Especially in politics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Doc, we had a couple of things we want to talk about. First of all, last night we went to the dementia meeting, which was really great. You know, just to get the word out about dementia and make it a dementia-friendly area and everything like that to educate people. It was great. And then you ironically said, oh, my gosh, have you heard about the new test?
There's a blood test.
Yes. Yeah, so go ahead and talk about that, please.
Well, it's in development, so it's not yet ready for prime time. But this is a test that was developed with input actually from Wisconsin, from the Alzheimer's Registry here in Wisconsin, where they discovered that a blood test, a screening test that could be almost like your cholesterol test, can detect Alzheimer's at an 80% rate.
Wow.
So 80% is a sure diagnosis, but up to 97% of Alzheimer's cases could potentially be detected with a simple blood test. Right now, it's a spinal tap or brain imaging. And when I was in medical school, you couldn't actually detect Alzheimer's until somebody had died and they did the autopsy.
Wow. Right.
So, and that was 20 years ago.
Also like CTE. Yeah, different thing.
Yeah. So things have really changed. They do it by looking for a certain protein that the level of that increases with the proteins that are associated with Alzheimer's disease.
But so you get the some people.
Yeah, I know what you're going to ask. I was going to ask the same question. Go ahead.
Okay. Like they may not want to take the test because but what do you do?
Yeah, exactly.
You don't have to take it. You don't.
No. But what I mean is, if you do take it, you want to take it, and you do have that protein or whatever.
Yeah. Then what do you do?
That's what I mean.
Well, that's the whole purpose of a screening test. Any good screening test is meant to diagnose something so that it can be treated early. There are medicines.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know that.
There are medicines that slow the progression of Alzheimer's. That's another new thing in the last 20
years. Did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that makes sense.
That's exciting news for this.
Okay.
And to be able to differentiate Alzheimer's from other kinds of dementia, like Lewy body dementia or vascular dementia, you can treat Alzheimer's, but the others are not treatable. So if you can differentiate those things and you can get someone on that early treatment plan, you can help the slow the progression of their disease.
That's awesome.
They'll potentially live longer and have a more, you know, fruitful life.
So where are we at with that test? You said it's prototypes or where is it something we can do tomorrow?
We can't do it tomorrow. Not this test, but hopefully it'll be available within the next year or two.
Okay.
There is an over-the-counter test that you can purchase yourself. I don't know if you've noticed this, but there are all of these tests suddenly that you, like you can get your genome and all of these things that you can order by yourself, but they don't come with a doctor to interpret them for you. And that seems pretty straightforward, like, you know, well, is the test positive or negative? It's not that simple.
Sure.
So there is a test that you can buy by Quest Diagnostics that it gives you the, that might suggest that you have dementia, but it's not all that helpful. It's a commercially available test, but it's not something that doctors are using.
That's exciting news, though. That's fantastic. That's absolutely awesome. Okay, yeah. I want to switch gears on you a little bit here. We're also talking a little bit about youth sports.
Yeah.
Something I'm passionate about, obviously, and everything. Talk about the new guidelines for that.
Oh, my gosh. The American Association of Pediatrics has found that 70% of kids drop out of youth sports by age 13 because they're burned out.
I was shocked when I saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
70%.
Overtraining, burnout. Well, I mean, think about what kids are doing these days. It's all the traveling team. It's all the expense. It's the coaches.
I don't know.
It's
Are you that shocked? I mean, come on.
70%,
though. But, Johnny, I mean, come on. When you were a kid, you'd play a little baseball. Then you'd switch to football. You'd play basketball. Now it's one sport, 5 days a week.
I know.
Yeah.
I mean.
I'm not disputing that aspect of it. But that just seems like such a high number.
To give it up.
And it's not healthy. You know, it's bad for your body. Look at girls with their ACL tears. Look at these repetitive injuries that pitchers are having because, you know, they're pitching. They've been pitching since they were little kids, and they literally wear their arms out.
Yeah. ACL injuries in girl sports, it's almost like an epidemic. It's horrific how many girl athletes. We've got a young lady that lives here. Her sister plays basketball for Green Bay. A tremendous player. She's conference player of the week, not long ago and everything.
Yeah.
And I was actually in the workout room with her. And I said, you played, right? She says, well, I had to stop after seven. I think it was seven surgeries, like on her knees and stuff.
Wow.
It just started in high school and then happened. That's an undertold story is the injury factor for girl athletes, especially basketball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and often undertrained. So ACL injuries are tricky.
Yeah.
But often these women don't have the muscle strength. So maybe a little bit of, you know, extra time in the gym would be helpful. But, you know, truthfully, it's the overuse and the lack of
You know what Kevin
rest.
Borseth, and we can talk to Kevin about this if he's listening. He thinks part of it stems back to the fact that they concentrate on one sport.
Yep.
And you only develop those muscles or ligaments or whatever there is, and they don't have any cushion around it. Whereas if you play a multiple of sports, you're using the different ligaments, you're using the different muscles, and it builds a much bigger base. You know what I mean? So that's what he firmly believes that.
That's one of the recommendations, actually, is play more than one sport and make sure that you take time off at least one day a week and don't train more than a couple hours a day.
I mean, shame on us for, you know, doing this to the youth. You know, I mean, we're the ones pushing them. I don't know that kid is saying, look, I want to play 5 days a week and I want to just play one sport. I do think some coaches and some, you know, I just think we have to lighten up a little bit on sports. I mean, it should be more of building camaraderie, friendship.
Well, I agree, but talk to some high school basketball coaches, men and women's, okay, and ask them how many times they've had parents say, we pretty much expect our son or daughter to get a scholarship to play at the next level. Do you know how hard it is?
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
It seems like everywhere you look right now, someone is sick. This year, prepare your family for airborne invaders like bacteria, pollen, and yes, germs with Navage Nasal Care. Navage flushes ultra-pure, refreshing saline in one nostril, around the back of the nose, and out of the other nostril. Navage sucks out viruses, dust, and other airborne particles, all the stuff that gets trapped in your nose, making you miserable. Don't get caught empty-handed this winter. Get Navage, the drug-free solution that helps you breathe easier, sleep better, and feel healthier. Even better, Navage is HSA FSA eligible, so Navage is a great way to spend those funds before they expire. Don't wait a minute longer. Buy Navage today and you'll breathe easier knowing you're putting your funds to good use. Navage is available online at Navage.com or Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, and Rite Aid. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E. Clean nose, healthy life.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
It's like, nope, none of them just hardly did anything. They just kind of peaked, you know, a lot of the guys and just sort of, that was it.
Well, we talked about
I think burnout was a part of it.
Yeah, we talked about Darrell Thompson yesterday, who was a classmate of mine at Minnesota and then went on to play for the Packers.
Yep.
And I remember when he got drafted and going over to his house and seeing his Packer jersey, and I was so excited, and he was like, eh. And, you know, it wasn't because he was drafted by the Packers. It was because he was tired.
Sure,
he was tired of playing, and he'd been in the spotlight for so long, and, you know, now he's still calling games for CCO.
Oh, that's right. Can you get him on our show?
Yeah, I think I can.
We'd love to get him on our show.
I'll reach out to him. But yeah, I mean, just to see that, and that was, you know, 30 years ago.
Right.
And it's so different. It's gotten so much more intense now.
You know, he was a different guy, though, and I mean that in a very nice way. He wasn't your just typical, because you'd get some of the guys come in, and they didn't go to classes. I mean, some of these guys, I could name some schools where I guarantee you, these guys literally, when you're in scout, you don't crack a book. And football is the only thing they had in their lives. Mm-hmm. Darrell was different.
Mm-hmm.
Darrell was a very... I don't know what you want to call it, but there was a lot more in his life than just football.
Oh, yeah.
There really was.
Oh, he runs
and
a
super
nonprofit
intelligent
now.
And, yeah.
He's just a real community guy.
Yeah.
Big family guy.
Oh, I liked him a lot. Mm-hmm. I liked him a lot. We would love to get him on the show.
Yeah.
But we're going to text here. Big thank you to you guys for being a part of the dementia-friendly neighborhood event last night. Such a great thing to have going on in Green Bay. Only one negative for me last night. Do you know what it is, Doc?
I'll tell you what it is. They only had vegetarian sandwiches. And John, you know, John's got to get that. He calls it protein, but it's just.
Who makes a sandwich? Just if it was just radish,
he's eating cucumbers. He goes, let's get out of here. I'm like, John, come on. We're here for the. We got to learn something.
This
here.
Fiber is good for you. It's
right.
Good for your colon.
Look, he's looking good.
You're
he's
more
lost
concerned
weight.
About my fiber intake than any person I know. I eat oatmeal, Doc.
You ate oatmeal once.
Okay.
That's true. That is true. Thank
How
you
did
for
you
remembering
know that?
That.
How
you
did
brought
you know
a
that?
Picture of it.
Clean right. How did you know I've literally had it once about this huge big thing? Okay. Wow.
One other thing about dementia that we should mention is there are 6 million cases of dementia, of Alzheimer's dementia right now. It's expected to double in the next 20 years.
Why?
Well, we have an aging population.
Okay.
We're getting a lot older. We
but
don't,
there are
not
no other
as many
factors.
Kids.
I mean, it's just... Oh.
That's what we think. It's just mostly related to the aging population.
Is it the same as like when my grandma, they said she was senile? I mean, is that basically dementia, you think? I don't think they had the term dementia back then in the 70s or 80s.
One thing on that, the diagnosis is so much better. I mean, that's why everybody says there's more of this. There really isn't. There's just, we do a better job of uncovering what some diseases that are out there.
Like autism is a great example of that.
That was around.
Yeah, people
just,
used to be just different.
Right.
And now we have a name for it.
Right.
Yeah.
And so they were then, like he's talking about his grandmother. Grandma, you know, she's going to see now. Well, grandma had, maybe she had dementia, Alzheimer's. And, you know, we call it something different right now. So to say that it's growing is true, but it's being better diagnosed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, and better
point.
Differentiated.
Right.
So we know the difference between Alzheimer's and Lewy body and vascular.
Right.
And
but that's
causes.
What I mean, though. There hasn't been one. What do you want to call it? Just something you grow up with in your area that helped. You know what I mean? Because like there's certain areas in Michigan, in fact, up around my area where cancer rates are extremely high. And some people think it's because of the iron ore and the different things that leached into the water from the mines and those kind of things. Some people have talked about that. But there's no environmental factors with dementia, is there?
Oh, boy. You know, I am not a dementia specialist.
Okay.
I'm sure that there are. In some specialized places, but in general, Alzheimer's is just a natural.
It's just something you got in your body.
Yeah, it's a progression. It's a disease usually of aging.
Right.
But, you know, there's early onset Alzheimer's too. And the screening test would not pick up the early onset because we probably wouldn't be screening people. Like Michael J. Fox is a great example.
Right, right.
You know, he was shocked. He was diagnosed because he noticed his pinky was twitching.
Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, suddenly he finds out that he's got, he doesn't have dementia. No. He's got Parkinson's.
Right.
Yeah, sorry. Whoops.
That's okay. But he got that at an amazing young age. Unbelievably young age.
People get Alzheimer's, too, at a very young age.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. It saddens me sometimes, but sometimes it takes someone like him to get it for
get
us
the word
to
out.
Put a little bit more money into research. And we got a long ways to go with Parkinson, but we're making some progress.
Yeah, music being used as therapy with dementia patients. Power of music.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Ace is big into that, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Ace Champion?
Yeah. Do you know him?
I love Ace.
Isn't he awesome?
Great? Yeah. He cooks, and then while things are cooking, he plays music.
Doesn't that tick you off, though? Doesn't that make you mad? It's like, I can't do either one of those things. And he's a semi-pro football player. And it's like, really, God? What? Right. Look at this.
And here I am stuck behind that. Right.
Here we are. Yeah. Yeah.
And you know his backstory? He had a stroke.
No, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. He had this is public knowledge. He had a stroke, and it was one of those moments where he was like, wow, I really have to live my life.
Holy
and since
cow.
Then,
at
he has just, yeah, young, as a young man, and he has just really embraced life, and he's just living it to his fullest. And
right.
He's out in the world, you know, doing great community things, cooking, working with lots of community organizations.
His music is just unbelievable.
His music focuses on certain parts of your body, and it's just, he's an interesting guy. We've seen him perform is the right word, but share his talents a number of times.
We actually think that he healed John.
Right.
Because he came in that day. You were out sick. And he was actually focusing his music on your body.
I felt something. I wasn't sure what it was.
Johnny. It was
all tingly.
It was either that or bed bugs. We weren't sure.
I thought it was the Mucinex.
No, it was Mucinex. It was the A sharp through one of his flutes that healed John's intestines.
The A sharp.
Right. That's awesome.
That was the note.
He didn't play music though before he started playing the music that he's doing now. He was not a musician at all. So there's hope for you.
But he creates his own instruments. It's too late for me for anything.
Yeah.
Absolutely anything. Except for getting a new Bart Starr sign out on the thing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. I met with the Brown County group the other night.
Yeah.
They gave me the green light to take it to another step.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Might even look into doing one for Nitschke, too.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yes.
And we all need a purpose. And I think
that's my purpose, is to get a new Bart Starr sign.
I think that's great. It kind of... what's the word I'm looking for? It encapsulates your life.
Yeah, once
I get
that,
sports
I'm done.
Guy, yeah. You're a creative guy, and to honor someone who, like you said, Lombardi gets a lot of credit, but really Bart Starr
you wouldn't.
They all deserve it.
God bless Zeke Bredkowski and these other quarterbacks. We would not be Title Town without Bart Starr.
Right,
that's true.
And I think that's cool that he's got some friends who can design the things, and we obviously got friends who can help us raise the funds for it. So, it's a cool project, and it's purpose.
Are you going to put on the bottom of the sign, love, John Mino?
Something.
Maybe.
I think
we should have Jordan. When we do the curtain raising or whatever you want to call it, we should have Jordan Love there to do it. You know, pass on the torch.
That would be great.
Let's work on that.
It's called unveiling, but curtain raising.
What did I say?
Curtain raising.
Wow.
John's got such an extensive theater background.
You ever have that one friend that always corrects you?
I do.
Well, at least he calls me a friend.
Yeah. Right. Can you stick around?
I can.
Awesome. All right. Dr. Kristen in the house. We got Mark Hewson coming up. We got Mike Clements coming up. We got Kristen coming up. We got a lot of stuff. Stay with us. At least until I die. Damn if you do. Damn if you don't. I'm supposed to get a raise next week. You know that when I want. Cause I'm working for a living. Hey, I'm not complaining cause I really need to work. But hitting up my buddies got me feeling like a jerk. Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Hey, this is Aaron from The Todd Albaugh Show. On Friday, Todd continues his winter tour around Wisconsin, and we are joined by Peter Rapine of E-Bombs World. Join us noon to 2.
Pets has it all for keeping your pets happy and healthy. We offer everything from food and treats to our huge selection of toys, bowls, leashes, collars, and more. Purina Pro Plan chicken and rice dog food provides your pets with outstanding nutrition, plus exceptional taste. It's made with high-quality protein, including real chicken, as the first ingredient. Pick up a 35-pound bag of Purina Pro Plan dog food for only $69.48. Price is good through January 28th.
Save big money at Menards.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.